So it was last year I had the opportunity, truly like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I got to go to Alaska with some other pastor friends. None of us had ever been before, and so we went out there together and spent a week, and we got to do some incredible things. We got to go hiking. We got to actually go and hike to a glacier. We got to go out onto the water and see whales. And I don't just mean like, oh, hey, look way over there. I mean, they came like right up to the boat, went underneath our boat to the other side of the boat. We went fishing. And for somebody that doesn't really like to fish, I even had a great time. So that says a lot. It was wonderful. We had such a great time. And I got to go to different restaurants and coffee shops and see all these different things. It was amazing. What made it so amazing, though, was not just what we got to do or what we got to see, but the guide that was with us made sure we got to see all the things. And he lives there. He's the one that hosted us. And so everywhere we went, there was our guide for the week. And when we went hiking, he made sure we went the right direction on the hike, and he told us which trail got us to the glacier. And even when we got to the glacier, where we could go, where we couldn't, where we should not go. When we went out on the water, he said, hey, I know the right spot. I know where all the whales are at. So then he goes there. When we went fishing, I know where the fish are. He knew where everything was. And so it made sense for us as people that were visiting, it made sense for us to rely on him as our guide to take us to where we wanted to go so that we could experience as much of Alaska as humanly possible. What would have been ridiculous, what would have been absolutely absurd, is if I were to go up to our guide and say, pardon me, we don't need you anymore. I think I can figure it out from here. That would make no sense. If I go up and say, hey, I just know I flew in, but I've kind of seen it. I mean, I get it. Mountains, water, we'll figure it out. Why don't you go back home? I'll take it from here. That would be ridiculous because I'm not familiar with what is there. I don't know where all the local restaurants are. I don't know how to get to all the different places. I have no clue because I don't know. So I had to rely on a guide to take us around, and it was such an adventure. There's no way. There's absolutely no way I would have gotten to experience what I experienced there if I tried to do it on my own rather than following our guide around. And I'll admit, at times it felt like we were being dragged around, but I'm so grateful because we got to see a lot. We got to experience more than I ever could have experienced on my own. We've been talking, we've been reading through the book of Acts, but talking about the Great Commission. And in our language at our church, we use that as to live on mission. The Great Commission out of Matthew chapter 28 is to go and make disciples, baptizing them. Got to celebrate the day that today. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are trying to be Jesus's witnesses. Jesus tells us that in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He says, to be my witnesses, go and tell everyone, starting with where you're at and to the ends of the earth. But even with that mission and even with that plan that Jesus has given us, he never expected or intended us to do that on our own. That was never the plan. The Great Commission ends with Jesus saying, and surely I will be with you to the end of the age. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it's not go and figure it out. It's go and be my witnesses, but first you need to wait. You need to wait for the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit empowers you, then you can go and be my witnesses. So we were never intended, God has never asked us to go and make disciples, to be disciples that make disciples on our own. To just figure it out. He gives us the Holy Spirit, and it's the Holy Spirit who leads us, who guides us, and empowers us to live out the mission that Jesus has given us, to be disciples that make disciples. If you have your Bibles, we're gonna be in Acts chapter 8, and as we study Acts chapter 8, I want you to focus on the role of the Holy Spirit. We'll talk who's the Holy Spirit and how does he work and who is he? Like, we're gonna answer some of those in a minute, but I want you to pay attention to who the Holy Spirit is and what he does. What is his role? In this case, with a man named Philip, who's a disciple of Jesus, and we will continue to see the Holy Spirit has a very similar role, the same role for us as disciples of Jesus as well as his church. Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 26. As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship and was now returning. Seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Ready? The Holy Spirit said to Philip, if you want to underline in your Bible that phrase, The Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk along beside the carriage. Now we are gonna spend most of our time just in this last part, this last phrase that was mentioned here. But let me ask a question first. Who's the one leading in this story so far? We are introduced to Philip, we're introduced to an Ethiopian, and then we're introduced to the Holy Spirit. Who's the one calling the shots? Who's the one leading? Who is it? Talk with me. It's the Holy Spirit, right? Here's Philip as a disciple of Jesus. He's just following in Jesus's footsteps, serving others. We read about him a little bit last week where he was even helping out with like the bread distribution service team. He's helping out in all these different ways with the early church. And as he continues to go along, he's listening to the leading of God, the leading of the Holy Spirit, which first tells him, go down that road, not that road. And Philip is like, sounds good. I don't know why, but we're going down this road now. And then he starts walking down that road and the Holy Spirit says, see that carriage? Go stand next to that carriage. He's like, I have no idea why I need to go to that carriage, but I will do what you tell me. And I go and stand next to that carriage. He's being led by God, the Spirit of God. He's being led by the Holy Spirit. What's interesting is the Spirit gives clear direction. Go down that road, not that road. Go stand next to that carriage. Walk along beside it. The instructions and direction are really clear. The reason why, not so clear. We've talked about this before, that as God speaks and as God leads, he's clear on what the next step is, and he's clear on the big picture of the mission. Philip would have to think, I don't know why I'm going down this road, but it has to have something to do with being a disciple that makes disciples. It has to have something to do with God's plan of making disciples of all nations. It has something to do with being a witness and telling other people about Jesus. It has something to do with that because we know that's the mission. But how that works, how does going down this road and that carriage, how does that tie in? Philip has no idea, but he is being led by the voice and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Here's a question we need to wrestle with throughout the rest of our time together this morning. If you are not being led by the Spirit, who are you being led by? If you are not being led by the Holy Spirit, who are you being led by? Is it yourself? Just full of like, well, I want to do this and this is what I feel like is right. Is it a bunch of I and me's? Is it something you're hoping for? Maybe a position, maybe a promotion, maybe a possession. There's something that is driving your decisions because you want to obtain something. Maybe it's something materialistic. Maybe it's someone else. You're allowing somebody else to lead you and you are just content and happy to follow. The point is, if you're not being led by the Holy Spirit, we are being led by someone or something. So who is it? We're either led by the Spirit or we're not. We're led by him or something or someone else. Now, this one phrase, I had you underline it. The Holy Spirit said to Philip. This is, in my opinion, based on this passage, this is the most exciting passage exciting verse in this passage. It's also the most difficult. It's exciting because of the end. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, like, understand what's happening. The God of the universe, creator of all things, is speaking directly to Philip. How cool is that? So we would say, like, corporately as disciples, as part of his church, we have his word. He has spoken to us. We have God's word, so we know what he has said. We know things about him. We know what he's like. We know what we're hoping for. He's given us a glimpse into the future in heaven and hope with him forever. So we have his word, collectively, corporately, as disciples of Jesus. But what this phrase shows us is, yes, God speaks to us collectively. He also speaks to us individually. How wonderful is that? That the God and creator of the universe doesn't just speak to us, he speaks to me and he speaks to you. He leans in and still leads and speaks to us individually. It speaks to the relationship we have with God. It speaks to the personal, meaningful relationship that we have with God. It speaks to how God views us and how God sees us. Because he's got this big plan to tell the world, tell everyone about Jesus and the good news of Jesus. And he thinks you should be part of that plan. So he speaks to you and to me and invites us in to be part of something bigger. the Holy Spirit said to Philip. Don't bypass it. Don't gloss over it. He wants that kind of a relationship with each and every one of us. Now let's back up though, because that phrase has a lot of questions. It started with the Holy Spirit. Who is he? Who's the Holy Spirit? Now, depending on your background, maybe even your church background, depending on where you are in your faith and your faith journey, the Holy Spirit is either you're very familiar with him, but you don't know what he really does. It's confusing. I can wrap my head around God the Father and God the Son, but God the Holy Spirit, like, what does that mean? And by the way, are we worshiping three gods? I thought we only had one God. Like, there's a lot of questions that come with it. Oftentimes, which just to clarify, yes, three in one. One God in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Not three, but one. But we treat the Holy Spirit sometime like, I don't know what to do with you. You exist, but can you just stay in the corner because I don't know what to do with you right now. That's kind of how it feels sometimes. So here's what I want us to do. I want us to spend a good amount of time just trying to understand who the Holy Spirit is. Within the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, who is the Holy Spirit? Jesus speaks a lot about the Holy Spirit, scripture, Old Testament to New Testament. The Holy Spirit is not just in the New Testament. God, he is in all. And so we see the Holy Spirit in all. So we have to understand who he is. He's our comforter. He's our encourager. He is our source of power. Jesus even spoke to that. He's like, it's not your power, it's through the power of the Holy Spirit. He convicts us. He helps us recognize the sin in our life and then invites us to repent and come back to him. Let me show you some of the passages Jesus himself, how he spoke of who the Holy Spirit is. By the way, we don't have time to go through all of them, but if you read John chapters 14, 15, and 16, you will hear a lot of Jesus's language speaking about who the Holy Spirit is and his role. Here's a few of them. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate. Give is important because that means this is a gift. We don't earn the Holy Spirit. We are given the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus calls him our advocate, who will never leave you. So he's always with you. He is the Holy Spirit. Notice what he does. He leads into all truth. So he's leading. The question is, are we following? John chapter 14, Jesus said, when the Father sends the advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and remind you of everything I've told you. So now the Holy Spirit is teaching us and also reminding us of what he's already said. What scripture has already told us, what God has already said, the Holy Spirit is reminding us of how he's already spoken. Chapter 16, when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and the coming judgment. In other words, the Holy Spirit reminds us, convicts us, and shows us what's right and what's wrong, what following God looks like and what rebelling against God looks like, what is sin and what is righteousness. He's the one that shows us our sins. Mark chapter 13, Jesus said, when you're arrested, don't worry about what you're gonna say because it's not gonna be you who will be speaking, but the Holy Spirit. So now he's our helper. He's helping us know what to say and know not what we shouldn't say. He helps us in different situations and scenarios. Acts 1:8, we have talked a lot about this over the last several weeks. Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then you will be my witnesses. Again, Jesus's expectation is not go and figure this out on your own. It's be my witnesses, but you need the Holy Spirit. You need the guide. You need the one that is going to lead you. Paul talks about the Holy Spirit this way in chapter 6 out of 1 Corinthians. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? So the Holy Spirit is given and dwells within every believer of Jesus. Not because of something we have to do, we don't have to earn it, we don't have to wait. He moves into our lives. He moves into us. The Holy Spirit dwells within us to lead us, guide us, convict us, change us, shape us, transform us, lead us, encourage us, help us, strengthen us. That's what God the Holy Spirit does in our personal lives. Now, there's a whole lot more that we could talk through. And many of you might be thinking, I still don't get it. Me neither. That's okay. There's something called the mystery of God. Welcome to it. That means that God is bigger than we can fully understand. That's a good thing. But there's still plenty more that you can lean into and understand. So let me give you some resources. You can do this on your own. And I'm always happy to sit down and drink coffee and talk about the Holy Spirit with you. But I'd encourage you to check out these resources. The first one is BibleProject.com. Take a picture of these and you can find them later. Go to their video section and just search for God and then the Holy Spirit. And you will get two videos that pop up. Both of them are right around or a little bit under 10 minutes. And it'll give you some great insight into God the Holy Spirit, who he is, and what it means, and how he works in our life. Podcasts are great. A lot of great podcasts out there. Knowing Faith is a great podcast just in general. But they do a specific episode on the Holy Spirit. That's episode 157, if you want to search for that. Two great books. I've read them both. I recommend them. Forgotten God and The Familiar Stranger. Both great books that lean in a little bit further into who is the Holy Spirit and how do I begin to recognize his working and his speaking in my own life. So you can do some of that on your own. So we have this phrase, the Holy Spirit said to Philip. We recognize that God is speaking to us individually, collectively and corporately, but also individually. But then we see it's the Holy Spirit who is doing the speaking. So we recognize who the Holy Spirit is, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So God is speaking to us, but then we get to that word, said. The Holy Spirit said. And we love talking about this, that yes, God speaks and God moves and I listen and we follow. But it also doesn't feel very practical and tangible, does it? God speaks. I believe that. What does it sound like? I've never heard the audible voice of God. So how do I know if it's him speaking and it's not just me thinking it? How do we discern the voice and leading of the Holy Spirit? Great question. I'm glad you're all asking that because I'm going to help us with it. Here's how I need you to work with me though. I need you to think of somebody very, very close to you, personally close to you. So that could be your spouse. That could be a child, a parent, a best friend, somebody that you know really, really, really well, and somebody's voice you know really, really well. So shouldn't be hard. You got them in your head? Yeah, you got the person? Now I want you to think specifically about their voice. Think about their voice. Try to listen in your mind their voice. What does their voice sound like? What's their cadence of how they speak? What are some of their catchphrases they always use that you pick up on? You have their voice, so you have the person. Now you have their voice. Yep. Now I want you to imagine how you would describe their voice to me who has no idea who they are. Where would you even begin? Like maybe the easiest would be like male voice or female voice. Okay, we can get there. Okay, but what should I be listening for? What does it sound like? How would you even begin to describe this voice that you are super familiar with? How do you describe that voice to somebody who is not familiar with it? I don't think you can. I know my wife's voice extremely well. We've known each other for a long time, married coming up on 18 years. I know her voice is always in my head, and that's a good thing. What would Becky say about this? That's what she would say. So I know her voice. I know what it sounds like. It sounds like angels, heavenly. But outside of that, I don't know how to tell you about her voice. I don't know how to begin to describe her voice to you in a way that you could actually pick it out. So here's what I would have to do. If you were really, I just want to know what your wife's voice sounds like, then I would say, spend time with her. Sit next to her at church. We always sit on the second row. She serves in the preschool ministry. Go and serve with her. She doesn't like coffee, so take her to lunch. Like the more you're around her, you will get to know her voice. But that's the part of it. That's the big part of it, isn't it? The more we are with one another, then we start to learn over time that person's voice. This is how our relationship with the Lord works. He is speaking to us. He is leading us. Do we recognize it as his voice? Do we recognize it as his leading? Do we recognize that it's the Holy Spirit? And I don't know how to teach you to do that other than to spend a whole lot more time with him, to sit with him and know his word and to be with him. And the more you are with him, the more you will learn over time to discern his voice and his leading. So let's go there. What does it look like to begin to learn over time the voice of the Holy Spirit, the leading of the Holy Spirit? I'm gonna use the word practices here. And I wanna make sure we're on the same page. When I use the word practice, I don't mean practice so you're performing. And I don't mean practice so that you can then perfect. I mean practice as in the actual definition of repeated behavior over time. When you practice, you just keep practicing and you keep practicing and you keep practicing. So that's how I want us to think of these four practices and how we can over time learn and discern the leading and the voice of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Here's the first practice. Practice listening. The more we listen, the more we practice listening, the more we start to pick up on, oh, that's the Holy Spirit speaking. That's the Holy Spirit leading. Now, when we talk about listening in a spiritual context, I mean his word. He has given us his word. So when we read scripture, when we talk about scripture, what we're doing right now is not just reading scripture, we are listening to the words of God. So the more we are in his word, the more we practice listening. David the psalmist wrote that I've hidden your word in my heart. That's deep listening, that I know your word and it is in my heart. I'm familiar with your words. That's listening. The more we are in his word, the more we're studying his word, seeking out truth from his word, discussing his word, memorizing and meditating on his word, that's how we practice listening. Listen to what he's already said. And the more we listen to what he's already said, the more we'll start to recognize what he's saying now. Practice listening. The second practice is practicing presence, meaning like being here. We struggle with this, don't we? We struggle with just being present in the here and now because we're always thinking about this and we're thinking about over there and we're trying to get over here and we need to get this done too. We don't do the present very well. So we have to practice presence, specifically with God. Practice being with him. We would call this prayer. Prayer is literally being with God and talking with him and then creating space to listen. It's being with him without all the other distractions, without thinking ahead on this or trying to figure out this or problem solving something else. It's like, Lord, I am with you. That's practicing presence. And here's what happens when we practice presence. When we practice presence by being with God, having an intentional rhythm of prayer in our life with him, it starts to create space to actually be with him. In a relational context, like in my marriage, we would call these date nights. We have all these other things and we're doing life together and we're figuring out kids and all these other things. So what do to practice presence in a human relationship? We practice presence by saying, we're gonna go out, have dedicated time at a restaurant with no kids screaming at us for a moment or asking for anything so I can actually sit, look at you and hear from you. In our relationship with God, it's similar. I'm gonna say no to other things so I can be with him. In this moment, for this amount of time, at this place, I am practicing presence with him and I'm creating space to be with him. And as you create space to be with him, not only do you speak to him, you start to listen for him. Let me show you the importance of this. Let me put up on the screen, this is the passage we just finished reading, Acts chapter 8. We all learned how to read when we were pretty young. You each could read this no problem. It would not be difficult for you to read this and understand it. However, let me show you another slide. It's the exact same words, the exact same letters. I have not taken anything out other than one thing. What did I take out? Space. The letters are in the same order. The words are in the same order. It's the exact same passage, but no space and no margin. But we look at this like, that's a lot more efficient. It's a whole lot less, but a whole lot more unclear. When we do not have space with God, when we do not create space to be with him and practice presence in his word and with him in prayer, he might be speaking and we just can't discern it. It comes across like this. When we add space, we can actually start to hear his voice, his leading, his promptings in our lives, but we have to make and create the space. The third practice is practice holy attention. Practice holy attention. I use the word holy there because holy literally means to be set apart. So this is specific attention that we set apart for God. Said it earlier, we don't multitask well because we were not created to multitask. God did not design us to be multitaskers, even though we try so hard. He gave us a certain amount of attention. That attention can only be given to one person or one thing at a time. It needs to be him, that he gets our full and undivided attention. We go through our days dividing up our attention. Holy attention is, Lord, I'm giving you my full attention. And we know this to be true. When we're trying to focus on something, I do this at home all the time. If I'm focused and trying to finish something or trying to pay attention to something and the kids are talking and the TV's on and everything else and the dog's barking, I'm like, everybody be quiet and stop bothering me for a second so I can pay attention, so I can focus. This removes some distractions. Those distractions aren't necessarily bad things. We're not talking like good and bad or, you know, sinful and evil and righteous and godly. Like, there are good things that are also distractions. Like, maybe just think through some rhythms about your day. Begin to think about all the inputs that you are listening to. And I'm not saying these are all bad ones. Social media, is that one of the first things you gravitate towards in the morning? Or the news, the different people, the different radio stations and podcasts and music and people. Like, we are bombarded with inputs, noises. We are listening to so many other things and people. We need to give God our attention. Practicing holy attention is limiting for a certain amount of time inputs so that you can give God your full attention. Fasting is a part of this, not the full aspect of it. That's a part of it. We say no to something for a certain amount of time so I can be more focused on God. I go through different seasons of this in my own life and throughout even my weeks. I might be in a moment or a season where I'm like, I just need everything else to be quiet. So in my car, I will listen to nothing. It'll just be quiet. We need that. That's limiting inputs. Other times, I just wanna listen to worship music. It's just, Lord, that's where you're leading me, so I'm just gonna listen to worship music. I'm not saying all the other music is bad, but right now, this is what I'm gonna lean into. I'm gonna limit all the other inputs, and I'm gonna just focus on you. Other time, it's digging deeper into God's word and theology and understanding him a little bit better. So it's all these different podcasts. I don't wanna know about the news in the world right now. I just wanna hear all about you. So what does that look like for you to practice holy attention where you limit inputs so that you can fully give God your attention? And when we fully give God our attention, I bet we start to discern his leading a little bit better because we are focused on him. Practice holy attention. The last practice is practice obedience. If we are resisting God's word from what he's already said, it is gonna become harder to discern where he's leading us next. But the more we obey and trust him in what he's already said, the more we grow to understand his words, his voice, his heart, and what he desires. Our obedience allows us to better discern how he continues to lead us, but it does require us to step out in faith and trust him, trust his word, and to follow him according to his word. We say his word, his will, his ways. The more we are obedient in his word, his will, his ways, the better we will be able to understand where he's leading us next. Those are the four practices. Say them with me. They are practice what? What was the first one? Practice listening. Then we practice good presence. And then we practice holy attention. And then we practice obedience. Let's practice this right now. One of those probably, if not, don't feel bad about it. But if one of those is like, oh man, that one's interesting to me, circle it. Or if it's, oh man, I hadn't even thought about that before, circle it. Man, I probably should lean into that one a little bit more, circle it. That's the prompting of the Holy Spirit highlighting something for you. Pay attention and lean into that one, whether it's a holy attention or it's listening, whichever one, lean into that starting today and see what the Lord continues to want to speak to you about and how he wants to lead you. Now, we have to hit a timeout for a second because all of that's great, but there's a flaw in what we've talked about so far. The flaw is it's all based on your discernment, which we all know we don't have much of. So at this point, how do you know if it's God's voice or just my voice? How do I know if it's God's voice or the voice of the enemy? How do I know if that's his voice or not? I'm listening and I'm paying attention, but how do I know if it's actually him? I'm so glad you asked. Can I help you answer it? Great, I'm glad we're on the same page. Here's some questions we should always be asking to discern if this is the voice of the Holy Spirit or if it's just something I want really bad and I'm just saying God told me to. Those are very different. Here's the first question. Is it consistent with scripture? God is not going to contradict himself. He's not gonna say something in his word and then tell you something differently. If you think you heard something from God and it doesn't match up in scripture, you're wrong. He's right. Scripture is truth. And so when we're listening for his leading and listening for his voice, we need to look. God, where have you already said this? God, where have you already shown this? God, does this match with the words you've already spoken? He will not contradict himself. He will always lead you into all truth. Remember, Jesus spoke about that earlier. So you need to know, is it consistent with scripture? Second question has to do with us. Is it contrary to the flesh? The flesh meaning like our sinful nature. Here's the reality. Each and every one of us as disciples of Jesus are a living, breathing, talking tug of war constantly. Because we're told we have the gift of the Holy Spirit living in us and dwelling within us, but we also know the reality, this side of heaven, we still have sin that is indwelling within us. Paul talked about this. He said, I don't do what I should do and I shouldn't do what I should do, so I don't know what to do. It's this constant tug of war, like the Spirit leads me in this way, but then my flesh and sin lead me in this way and I feel like I'm stuck in between. So a good question to ask is the Lord leading me in a way? Do I think it's the Lord? And if so, is this contrary to my own sin? The Lord is not gonna lead you into sin. The spirit and the flesh are contrary to one another. And if what you feel like he's leading you to is not contrary to the flesh and sin, then it's not of him, it's not from him. Consistent with scripture, contrary to the flesh. Third one, is it within the character of God? Maybe you're sensing the Lord leading you in a certain way, or you feel like he's just put this on your heart and you're like, but I don't know where he said that. He didn't speak to that topic, or he's not speaking directly to me. So how do I know if it's from him? Here's how. Does it match his character? Because scripture is full of the truth and reality of who God is and what he's like. So even though if we don't know exactly what he's saying in every situation, in every scenario, well, does it match the character of God? For example, if some of you came up to me after service today and said, hey, you told me to go and like meet your wife and hear her voice. I did that. And then she wanted me to tell you this. If you came to me and said, Brian, your wife, Becky, told me to tell you that she wants to go get sushi after lunch today. If you came and told me that, I don't have to know it. All I have to look at you and say is, you're a liar. I know that's not true. Get behind me, Satan. Here's how I know that to be a lie. Because I know the character of my wife. I know her and I know she loathes sushi. So if you come to me and tell me something about her that is outside of her character, I know what's true and what's not true. So when we are being led by God and led by the Spirit, we're matching that with his character, with what he's like, which we know what he's like, that he is loving and kind and compassionate and patient and good, filled with grace and mercy and forgiveness. That's how we know. Does it match the character of God? Two more. Is it creating space for faith? Throughout scripture, when God leads and God speaks, he is leading people and speaking them to move to a place that creates space for faith, not comfort. He's leading people over and over and over again into a place that requires more trust in God, not less trust of God. More trust in him and less reliance on ourselves. So for example, you come to me and you're like, Brian, this whole Holy Spirit thing, I really feel the Lord through the Spirit has been speaking to me and I need to buy a new car. I'm like, is this a gift or is this for you? No, I'm just kidding. You really feel like the Lord is leading you to buy this new car. And I'm like, I mean, maybe not. Like, let's see. Like, if you buy this car, will this cause more comfort or more space for faith? Is this something you just want or is this gonna cause you to trust him more? I'm not saying buying the car is a bad thing, but let's not say God told you to. Say, I want the car. Doesn't mean he told me. When we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, it is leading us into a place that requires us to trust him more, not ourselves more. So if this is something that you walk into and you're like, man, this is actually gonna make my life a whole lot easier. I don't know if that's exactly from him. We should ask a few more questions, which leading to the very last question. Is it confirmed by godly counsel? We can rationalize and make excuses for just about anything in a vacuum, in isolation. I can talk myself into just about anything, as could you. So we bring in godly counsel. Scripture is very clear to bring in other godly people to speak truth and wisdom into your life. So as you are discerning, I've been practicing listening and I've been trying to have more presence with him and I've been giving him my attention. I've been walking in obedience and I believe and I sense that the Lord is leading me in this direction, that I feel like the Lord is speaking to my heart about this. Then we go through and we ask the questions. Does it match his word? Does it go against my flesh and my sin? Does it match his character? Is this gonna require more faith and more trust in him, and I have to rely a whole lot less on myself? And let me invite some other people in. That helps us discern the voice and the leading of the Holy Spirit. All of that from that one little phrase, the Holy Spirit said to Philip. How beautiful that he speaks and leads us individually as well as collectively as disciples. I'm gonna read through the rest of the story so you hear how it ends, but here's how I want you to kind of hear the rest of the story. I want you to hear the rest of the story in a way where you would be like, oh, that, I want that. Not exactly Philip's story, but I want to be so open-handed and so surrendered that I continue to live in a way that the Lord works in this way. Here's what happens next, verse 30. Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. Philip asked, do you understand what you are reading? The man replied, how can I unless someone instructs me? He urged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him. The passage of scripture that he had been reading was this. He was like a sheep led to sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before the shears, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. That's all out of Isaiah. Verse 34, the eunuch asked Philip, tell me, was this prophet talking about himself or someone else? So beginning with this very same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. Notice the partnership of the Holy Spirit and Philip. The Holy Spirit said, go down this road. The Holy Spirit said, go up next to that carriage. The Holy Spirit did not say, go and ask him a question. Yet Philip still went up and asked a question. That's the beauty of following the Holy Spirit. You start to see what he's doing. Oh, you have me next to this carriage for a reason. He's reading out of Isaiah. I see what you're doing here, Lord. Okay, I'm gonna ask him a question. And side note, questions create curiosity. Curiosity allows for conversations. That's exactly what Philip had with this man, a conversation about Jesus. Next part, verse 36. As they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized? He ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Now, let's just think for a moment. There's no way that Philip, when he was first told to go down this road instead of that road, to go next to that carriage instead of that carriage, there's no way that Philip thought, ah, I'm gonna baptize this guy at the end of this whole story. There's no way he thinks that. Remember, the Spirit is leading with clarity in a next step, but not clear on the full plan. Philip had no idea how the Spirit was going to lead this moment and orchestrate this moment of Philip at the right place at the right time with this Ethiopian who's reading out of the prophet Isaiah and asking questions about Jesus. That's what the Lord does. He moves us and leads us as part of his plan. No believer should ever say, my life is boring. As a disciple of Jesus, our lives are filled with the adventure of, God, what are you gonna lead me to next? God, what are you gonna speak to me next? God, what do you have for me next? There's no aspect of our lives of following him that is dull and boring. It is an adventure of, God, where are you gonna lead me next? What do you wanna say to me next? If we fast forward, this won't be in Acts, but if you read history, if you read a history book, you will learn, especially if you study the history of Ethiopia, the country of Ethiopia, which we're talking about an Ethiopian here that's high up in the royalty, the royal family. Ethiopia, about 300 years later than this time period here that we're reading in Acts chapter 8, Ethiopia as a country officially adopted Christianity, one of the first countries to do so officially. Tell me our God's not moving and working. 300 years after this moment, and it all could be traced back to an Ethiopian that heard about Jesus from a man he didn't know, which traces back to a man that listened to the Spirit say, go down this road, not that road. Don't minimize the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life. You have no idea what he is inviting you into. That's the excitement and the adventure of being Spirit-led. Last part, verse 39. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched, you can circle that word in your Bible, snatched Philip away. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Meanwhile, Philip found himself farther north at a town of Azotus. He preached the good news there and in every town along the way until he came to Caesarea. What was the word? Snatched. I love this word. It is the best word that we could translate because it literally does indicate a supernatural event of the Spirit literally picking up Philip in a supernatural way and transporting him somewhere else supernaturally. I mean, we're talking about teleporting here. How cool is that? And we want to have a rational, well, maybe, no. God is working supernaturally here. And in a supernatural way, he led Philip somewhere else. What a beautiful picture. I don't want us to get hung up on like, well, does he still do that? Can he teleport me? I mean, maybe. If he does, tell me. I'd love to hear the story. But the overarching principle is that Philip continued to be led by the Spirit. He didn't finish this one assignment with the Ethiopian and then go and do his own thing. He continued to be led by the Spirit, continued to be moved by the Spirit. A prayer that I've personally been praying for about the last 6 months or so, Lord, would your Holy Spirit drag me around? Like I want that image of being snatched away. It's like going back to Alaska, this guide like, hey, now we're gonna go over here and then we gotta go over here. We can't miss this. We have to get here at this time. Like I wanna just be dragged around and experience the adventure of God moving and God working. Can we continue to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us and lead us? And will we be willing to follow with open hands where it does feel like he's just dragging us around and we're along for the ride? Like, I don't know where this is going. I don't know what you've got for me today, but this is so exciting. I never would have come up with this on my own. What an exciting way to live as we follow his Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, we'll end here. Paul says, in regarding to how we follow the Spirit, he said, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading, ready? In every part of our lives, in every single part of our lives. If we rephrase it for us, I'd say it this way. Let the Holy Spirit lead you in every part of your life, every day of your life, for the rest of your life. What a beautiful way to live. The Great Commission is not an obligation. Well, you better go and make disciples. It's an adventure. Lord, you have given me the mission to go and make disciples. I can't do that on my own. You're not asking me to do that on my own. You've given me the gift of the Holy Spirit to lead and guide me. So what if we actually followed? What if we actually said, Lord, not my will, your will. Not my ways, but your ways. Not my word, but your word. Would you continue to drag me around? Would you continue to snatch me from one environment to the next and to this person and this person? And God, would you continue to use me for something that I could never come up with on my own? What would it look like to be led by his Spirit? Here's what I'm gonna have us do. I'm gonna have us do two things. The first one is just gonna give you just a little bit of space. I've talked a lot. How about I be quiet for a minute and let you and the Spirit talk? I'm gonna create some space just between you and the Lord. We're gonna practice presence like we talked about. And here's what I would encourage you to do with this 30 seconds of space. Just tell the Lord, I desire to be led by you. For some of you, this might be the first time you've ever told him this. Like, I actually want to be led by you. I've been holding on to my life. I'm ready to be led by you. For some of you, he's led you, but now you've kind of like grabbed it back again. Like you let the guide do his thing and then you're like, ah, actually, I don't like the way that you're doing this, so I'm gonna go ahead and take it back. It's time to let him actually lead. Maybe there's something very specific in your personal life right now, and you don't know what to do. This way or this way? Do I do this or do I do this? God, I don't know. Would you bring that to the Lord? Practice presence and begin to listen and learn the voice and the leading of the Holy Spirit. So let's come before him, create space, and all I'm asking you to do is share your desire with him. Lord, I want you to be the leader of my life. Not me. I want to be led by you and nothing and no one else. I'll give you about 30 seconds and I'll tell you what we'll do next. The last thing that we're gonna do together is sing a song together. But I'm gonna ask that we don't sing it, I'm gonna ask that we pray it. This song is intended to be prayed as a body of believers that are eager to follow the Spirit. When we were reading the story of Philip, I don't know if you noticed this, but after the Spirit told him to go stand next to the carriage, the next line is, and Philip ran over to it. There's an eagerness there of running and following the Spirit's voice and leading. So this song is a prayer where we are eager for the leading of the Holy Spirit, that he would move in such a way that moves us. Would you stand with me? Let me pray for us, and then we will pray this song together. Holy Spirit, would you move? Would you move in such a mighty way that causes us to move? Would you speak in a way that leads us into where you desire us to be? God, thank you so much for all that you have already spoken. Thank you that you continue to have a personal relationship with us where you speak and you move and you choose to use us and invite us into your plan and your mission. May we say yes. May we be dragged around by you and live every single day in uncharted territories as an adventure of where you're gonna lead us next. In Jesus' name, amen.